What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Full Draw Friday. I'm Canyon. That's Austin on the other side of the screen over there. This is brought to you by Rack's Big Game Supplements. If you guys are looking for what the deer need, how they want it, go to racksmineral.com and check that out. It's also brought to you by Rodney Hawkins, Midwest Farm and Land, and RG Outdoors. If you're looking for a piece of property in Illinois, he can get you set up. If you're in Southern Illinois and you're looking for sporting goods, he'll help you out with that too. He's got all kinds of stuff in the store. He's located in Flora, Illinois. So if you're local, go check that out. If you're not, Midwest Farm and Land, if you're looking to get some land around where we're at. Austin, what's up, man? It's been a while. I'm glad to finally get back rolling here.
I know. I'm glad to be back on here. It's been a second since we've done that. Yeah. We kind of took a little hiatus there.
Yeah.
A little bit of a break.
It'd
be good to get this back on.
Usually July is kind of like my month to really try to get some steam on deer heads and everything else, and it's like vacation time for everybody, and it's kind of like the middle of not thinking about deer hunting for a lot of people till you start getting to the back half. So it works out to take a little bit of a break and then come back starting fresh. So we wanted to get started last week, but had some stuff come up, screwed the schedule all around. But we're back now, and I think we got a good one. We're going to talk about, since we both are consultants, we're going to talk about when to hire a consultant. And you might think, well, duh, of course you're going to tell us when to hire one because you guys are ones. But we're also going to tell you when not to do it. So we're going to be fair. We're playing both sides of the ball here. And we're not just talking about us. Of course, we'd love your business if you're in our service area or whatever. But there's a lot of good ones around. Like, we're not covering the whole United States. There's several good ones that we both know, I'm sure, that we could even recommend if you're outside of where we would be willing to travel or we can't work something out. So don't think this is just a big commercial for either of us. It's just, I think there's a lot of question about when you should hire a consultant, when you shouldn't, and this is kind of just our opinion on when would be the right time to do it and when's the right time to maybe wait. So,
and things to look for
exactly
when you're hiring somebody. That I think that's a big one too, and maybe a little bit of a clearing up what exactly we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I feel like it's a very broad, you put consultant in there and it feels extremely broad.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you should be expecting from somebody that you want to hire is that's a big question and stuff you should ask when you're on the phone with a potential consultant.
Yeah. So maybe we just start there with that, and then without getting into too much of the whys, and then we'll go into when to do it. And then when not to, we'll finish out when not to do it. But we might as well start right there. Like you said, consultant, big, kind of a broad term. And really, depending on who you're getting, someone might be totally different than somebody else as far as their way they go about it and what they're going to tell you, what they're going to try to accomplish with you. So just from your perspective, as far as what you do, because I know we both have very similar approaches to it, what's that look like for you as, hey, I'm a consultant, this is what I'm here to do, this is what you can expect from me?
So the way I like to tailor it is I'm very individual client and individual property forward, right? What are your specific goals? You know, I'm not just trying to give you this plan that you need to overhaul your entire property, do this, and this, these major projects, and to create this environment to potentially shoot 200-inch deer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like that misses, bypasses the majority of clients. Most clients still want to use their property for more than just deer hunting, right? And mm-hmm. totally understandable, especially if you don't have an 800-acre property. You know, if you don't have the space to create that, to section it out essentially to your fun portion and then your deer portion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, getting a good idea about what the client's specific goals are, what that property looks like and what it can handle. You know what I mean? What's going on in the surrounding area? Is it even a huge potential to hold deer all year on that property, or do we need to focus on fall hunting patterns? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's really kind of figuring out what that property is in itself and also figuring out what that client is willing to do. Cause also, what's the point of visiting a property and having that client, pay you to develop a plan that they aren't actually interested in implementing.
Yeah, or able to implement.
Or able to implement that also. So, you know, taking all of those details into consideration and building a plan around those specific details, I feel like is the most important piece of what we do. You know, mm-hmm. if you're talking about, let's get out of deer hunter consultant, a business consultant, right? You're not necessarily going to have a cookie cutter plan for every business because mm-hmm. every business is slightly different, right? Yep. Every business owner is slightly different in their employees and their processes and money available, you know, what they can do, you know, how much money they can put into marketing. All this stuff is very individualized to each business. Same thing with your same idea with the property. And if you aren't getting a 100% tailored plan to you and your property, I feel like you're getting gypped.
Yep. Yep.
And
I agree.
And someone not taking the time with you as an individual, as a landowner, not taking enough time with you to figure out those details that should be happening.
Yep. And I think there's another piece to that, and I know you do this too. One thing that your consultant, in my opinion, and this is what I, like I said, I think we both do it, they should be working with you on is actually not only the plan of how to set up the property, but how you're hunting. And not necessarily just how you're hunting the property, because obviously that's a huge piece of it, but also just your hunting strategy, your tactics in general, because it could be a situation where, and we'll get into this a little bit, you got your property set up pretty good, you're just kind of hunting it the wrong way. Or even if you're doing the right things on the property, you're going on the wrong days, or you're using the wind wrong, or you're trying to do way too much, or you're not trying to do enough, or you're picking the wrong stands on the wrong days for the wrong reasons. All that kind of stuff goes into it too. And I think if your consultant is not helping with that stuff, you're losing value there too, because there's a lot to learn from just, okay, how are you hunting? And as much time as we spend on planning out a property for somebody, I think we spend just as much on literally just, how do you hunt? This is maybe, okay, you do this well, maybe you could do this better, and that would probably help right off the top, right? Even without even turning any dirt or cutting any trees or anything like that. So that's a big one too, I think, as far as what to look for from your consultant, what they might be doing, and what it might look like, what to expect, right? So I think that covers that pretty good, a little bit deeper dive into what a consultant actually is within hunting especially. So let's get into, now that you know what they are, when should you bring one in? Because I think a lot of people struggle with this, and the timing on this can be important to get, again, value out of however much you're paying them, right? And the first one I have down is, you're just getting started into hunting and you have a new property. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a new property, but it's new to you, right? You're just starting to hunt this property and you don't have a lot of experience with it. And that's where, again, that hunting aspect of it, strategy aspect of it really comes in, because you're really just getting into it. I think that if you can do it, is a great time to bring somebody in to say, okay, you haven't really touched this property. Here would be an awesome way to set it up, and here's how you should go about hunting it, or think about hunting it this way. I think that could be a really good jump start for somebody fresh into it.
Oh, completely. And also, it's the kind of thing where it helps you bypass a lot of mistake time. You know what I mean? And also, if you get into, you can never take a cut back. So if you go cutting trees, those trees, they just won't grow back that fast. So it's one of those things where getting a good start early is definitely an advantage to you. And also, if you haven't deer hunted most of your life, you know, like we have, if you get to the point of almost getting discouraged because of the lack of success, if you would have just started with a more detailed plan and maybe a little bit more assistance, mm-hmm. you would have bypassed that discouragement phase and would have helped you see success sooner. You know what I mean? Yep. So, you know, I was a fitness instructor before this, and you see that in a client's process, transformation process. you have like 3 months basically before you start hitting a mental barrier when it comes to burnout or discouragement and whatnot, right? So if you go those 3 months and you didn't have a good plan in place and you didn't lose hardly any weight or gain any muscle, whatever your goals are, you are discouraged and typically you quit, right? Where if you went those 3 months, had a ton of success, you hit that 3 month burnout, it's easier to continue.
Yes.
And you don't feel so burnt out and discouraged.
Right.
Same idea. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? And then it helps the longevity of the sport. You know, it helps keep people from, you know, enjoy the woods quicker, you know, where I understand that you need to learn things on your own. We did, you know what I mean? So, but if you can, you know, shorten that learning curve just a little bit for somebody, and maybe they can shoot their first buck, you know, 4 years faster
Yeah.
than you did, you know, shoot, heck yeah.
Exactly. You got to look at it kind of, and there's a lot of good resources out there that don't cost you anything, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you kind of got to look at it, in my opinion, as a tuition payment. And yeah, anybody worth their salt's going to charge a little bit of money because nobody can do it for nothing. We're not talking like stupid money, which we'll also talk about later. But you might look at it and think, gosh, that seems like a lot of money. But look at it as a tuition payment. To learn up front instead of, okay, let's say you're going to do some specific job and you have the opportunity to go to school and learn about this job and then go into it, or you can just dive straight into the job, right? Okay, school's going to cost you this much, but it's not going to cost you anything if you just go to the job, except for whatever you screw up in the first 4 years is going to cost money, right? And if that costs more money than what school would have cost, maybe you should have just gone to school for it, right? It's the same kind of idea. If you're doing the wrong thing for 4 or 5 years and trying to spend money and money and money, throwing money at something, especially when we're talking about property management, food plots, habitat improvement, stuff like that, you can get in some serious money pretty quick on even just something as simple as planting food plots every year. But also, if you're talking
Absolutely.
about either hiring out jobs or renting equipment to do bigger projects, you can get in some serious money. And so now you've spent all that money and you're not any farther ahead because you didn't have the original knowledge that you needed to get started. And just based on hunting, like that hunting aspect of it is the same way. Like you said, maybe you can kill that first buck 4 years earlier and then you're not hating the sport because you're not having any success, right? I think it's great to have failure and should learn from failure. But if you don't have any success at all and you just fail and fail and fail, it takes a really special type of person to just keep pushing through that, right? Not everybody's made that way, especially something like hunting that's just a hobby for a lot of these people like you're talking about. They're just gonna find a different hobby, right? So if you really want to get into it, you really think you're gonna like it and you really want to like it, get somebody that knows what they're doing. They're going to be a great resource. Like I said, there's some free resources out there, but they're not going to be specific to your situation. You can't ask them questions like you can a person. And then here's the good thing too. I'm sure you do this also. I tell everybody that we work with, hey, if you got questions down the road, I'm always a resource for you. Give me a call, shoot me a text. So then you've always got that person's number to be like, hey, this came up. I got questions on this. It's like Google specifically for deer hunters, you know?
I feel like that's the most important piece of it is the continued support. You know, I've got a second year client right now where, you know, I did all of his food plots last couple of years, and man, everything is looking fantastic. And he's got three mega giants on his property right now, huge deer. He's a very bit busy guy, and he just doesn't have the time. And he's kind of learning how to deer hunt while we're at it also. So he's always deer hunted, but not to the level of what we're talking about. So you know, I've helped him moving cameras around, helped him do some scouting, you know, on top of the plan that I've already developed and been implementing with him, you know, also helping him figure out actually how to kill him. You know what I mean? Figuring out what these bucks are doing on property and figuring out ways to, well, which stands he's actually going to be killable out of. You know, do we need to make any adjustments? do we need to make adjustments to access for that specific deer, you know, around what we already have in there, you know, because you just need, you know, just things that, we evaluate when we're evaluating a specific buck to try to harvest that specific buck.
Right.
It's passing on that, knowledge and the specific details that we're looking into. You know what I mean? Yep. So helping him through this, and hopefully this year we can get one of those deer on the ground for him, because that would be insane.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That's why you do it, right?
That's exactly why we do it.
I don't know any consultant worth their salt that doesn't like to hear from their clients moving on, you know, good or bad. Like, hey, I struggled this year. What do you think about this? Or, hey, I killed XYZ buck. Check him out. Send him a picture. Like, those are always the best texts to get from previous clients. We'll go to the next one here that I got. And you kind of touched on it a little bit where you can't take that cut back. If you're about to start big projects on a property, so if it's one you've had for a while and you're finally like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm about to dive in. I want to do this, this, and this. That's a great time to bring somebody in and just make sure everything you're wanting to do is going to be good and you're not hurting yourself, because as soon as you cut down that tree, it's gone. You can't put it back, right? There's certain things that you can do that might not hurt a ton, but especially when you're looking at clearing stuff, or even if you're looking at just, if you've got some growth that's 2 or 3 years old, then it's pretty good habitat for deer and it's in a good spot, but you think it would be better as a food plot. Well, if it turned out that it was better for what it was before, guess what? It takes 2 or 3 years to have 2 or 3 years of growth, and maybe longer depending on what all you did to it. So when you're about to start a big project, I think is another one where it's good to bring somebody in.
And that's a good point too, because there's this idea that everything has to look pretty now and manicured, right? Everything it comes from your yard. You know, you take that same perspective into your property.
Yep.
That's not actually always good, you know, and that's part of the reason actually we have the wildlife issues that we have, especially with birds, is the loss of habitat due to over management and maintenance when it comes to mowing everything and, you know, farming everything and just loss of habitat due to those practices, where it might not look pretty,
right?
But keeping it there will help you kill that buck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And just in general, not only just kill that buck, but in general, help your deer herd or your birds, everything.
Yeah,
your overall habitat will enhance by maybe keeping it that way. You know, obviously, if it's a bunch of invasives, you need to go in and get to work on that. But that's something that also that person can help you with, is, hey, do we actually need to get rid of this because it's a bad invasive, or can we just maybe spruce it up a bit or just leave it?
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So that's a good way of thinking about it too. You know, we're not mowing everything.
Exactly. That ugly old fence row might not look great and it might be kind of in the farmer's way or something, but there's a lot of rabbits and quail and other kind of birds living in there. And then it also might be where that buck takes his doe in the middle of the rut. And that might be your only chance at him. So that, and then those overgrown fallow fields are a big one. Like, that's such good bedding cover for them in the wintertime. And it's a good place to find where those does can go hide from bucks, and to find those cruising bucks in the rut. Like, all that stuff that isn't necessarily pretty. The big open woods that is really pretty, deer don't necessarily like that in the fall. They might cruise the edge of it every now and then, but yeah, there's a lot that looks good that isn't necessarily good for deer. So if you're fixing to start a big project, especially if you're thinking, I'm going to go in here and clean a lot of this stuff up because I'm going to make it better for hunting, bring somebody in and make sure that what you're doing is going to be good. The next one is kind of a little bit opposite of the first one. And you've been hunting and managing a property for years, but you're just not seeing the results that you think you should be. And I think this is probably
more than you think.
Yeah, this is probably the majority of ones I've been on. It's either been the guy that just acquired a property. He's been not necessarily a new hunter, but he just acquired a property. Or it's the guy that's been hunting a property for a few years and he's just not seeing what he thinks he ought to see. And if you're in those boots, you're kind of like, throw your hands up. I'm out of things to do. I'm out of ideas. Bring somebody in, get some ideas, pick their brain, see what they might think about it, because they might be seeing things that you're not.
It's a new perspective. It's mm-hmm. a fresh eyes, fresh set of eyes. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've walked a property with a client and I go straight to a portion of this property, even a little tiny cubby hole. You know what I mean? Not anything big, just a little spot that has been overlooked. And client will be like, I've either never been back here or they haven't been back there in years.
Right.
Right. You go back there and there's a giant rub or there's a giant scrape mm-hmm. and there's heavy activity back there.
Yep.
And just that, it's kind of fun walking back there with the client and seeing they're like, holy cow, I had no clue this was yeah. back here.
Right here, you know, the whole time.
But it's, yeah. And it's something that I feel like when you've hunted a property for so long, you almost lull yourself into a habit.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And a comfort pattern. And you put blinders on your property mm-hmm. and you quit paying attention to what the deer are adjusting to and stuff like that.
Yep.
Where if you go to a property for the very first time, you have a very open mind to yeah. that property.
Right.
And if you take that open mind and combine it with years of intel, you're unstoppable yeah. on that property.
Yep. Absolutely.
You really are.
That's, and another thing on that too is, like, if you've been putting money into that property for a few years too, and you're like trying to make improvements mm-hmm. that you thought were good, but they're just not working out. Like, that's the same kind of scenario. Like, you, maybe you're just off a little bit with either, maybe it's something as simple as what you're planting, you know, in a food plot, or just, hey, if you'd move it just a little bit, cause you can only pull a deer so far. If he don't want to go over there, he's not going over there. It doesn't matter what you plant for him, that kind of thing. You know, whether there's a giant ditch between where he's using and where that food plot is, or he just doesn't like going up there on that ridge in the open or something like that. You know, it could be something as simple as that. And you kind of hit
or on, it's just right on your axis and you bump all the deer off every time you pull into your property.
Exactly.
It's a terrible position for it. And that's why everything goes nocturnal once you start hunting it. And when you leave, they come back to daylight.
Yep. Yep.
It's that same thing also.
Yep. The last one we got, which you kind of hit on that one, was just to get a fresh set of eyes. And this is not necessarily the guy that's kind of thinks he's out of ideals or whatever, but you've been hunting the property a long time. You've had some success on it. Maybe not as good as you think it ought to be, or you think you're not hunting as good as you could be. First of all, you gotta kind of put your pride aside, get that out of the way, and don't think you know everything. And be like, I've been doing this. I've been having some success. I know the property pretty well, but maybe I'm missing something because I've got comfortable on this property. I've fallen into habits. Let me bring someone in, see what they see, and just get an idea, you know, on what maybe I could do better or where I should be hunting it better.
Completely. And going back to picking, choosing your consultant, you know, especially if that's you, if this is you we're talking about, it really helps to do your research on the consultant and make sure that your ideas and hunting habits are fairly similar.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it would do me no good to bring someone out who is not interested in a mobile perspective.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Just a box blind perspective, right? Mm-hmm. That's not how I hunt. That's not how I like to hunt. So it wouldn't necessarily do me much good to think that way. Or just a straight rifle hunter guy. I like being up tight mm-hmm. and personal with these deer. I am super comfortable with being incredibly close and in tight quarters. And, you know, so finding someone that fits your hunting style is also important. Yep. Also, you know, it's not just a consultant that can make a pretty habitat, you know.
Yeah.
Does this person fit your actual similar hunting style?
Yeah, you know? Because if not, then, and they come in and tell you, if you're that mobile guy that likes to hunt out of a saddle and wants to be here, there, and everywhere throughout the season, then you don't need the guy coming in to tell you, hey, put a food plot here and put a box blind over it. Not that there's anything wrong with either of those, but you're not going to find enjoyment in that, so you're not going to do it anyway. So mm-hmm. get with a guy who can either do both and tell you, hey, this would be really good. I know you like doing it this way, but if you would throw up, put a food plot here and have at least a permanent set, no, you don't have to hunt it all the time, you know? And then here are some other things, other places I think you could implement your saddle and your mobile setup. You know, either get that guy or one that is just, he's like, hey, I'm into mobile hunting. I'm into, you know, like you, public land stuff. That's going to bring a whole new perspective on it. If that's what you're doing, then at the very least, get the guy that's doing only what you're interested in. Because if you're not interested in the way he's telling you to do it, you're not going to find enjoyment in that. And that's the bottom line. You're looking to enjoy the property, enjoy the hunt. So if you're not someone who likes to sit in a blind over a food plot, if you're, or vice versa, if you're not someone who is able or likes to run and gun and be mobile, then you need to go the other direction because that's what you enjoy doing. You know, and it's, that's not to say you can't branch out and try other things, but if they're telling you something that you're not interested in, you're wasting your money. You're not going to do it anyway, which kind of leads us into, we'll kind of burn through these a little bit because we're getting short on time, but when not to hire a consultant. And that's one of them. It's actually the second one I got, but we've already segued into that one. So if you're not going to implement your consultant's recommendations anyway, don't hire one, right? Whether it's because your interests are different, they're telling you to do something that you have no interest in, or it's just you're bringing somebody in so you can prove how smart you are and tell them everything you're doing. More power to you. I'm not telling anybody how to live their life, but it sounds like a waste of money to me if you're going to bring somebody in with no intention of doing what they recommended. And I know we've all been on properties like that.
Yeah, if all you're going to do is go on social media later and say so-and-so is stupid and I know more than him, and you're just going to talk to your butt buddies at the bar and tell them all that, then why in the world did you bring that person in the first place?
Yeah, doesn't do anybody any good. And it
does nobody any good.
Nope. So that's an easy one for sure. If you're not planning on doing what they're telling you, then why have them come in and tell you to do it? The other one, and I think this is a big one, if you're not able to afford the consultant or you have limited financial resources where you, if you hire the consultant, you're completely out of funds for the property and now you can't do what they recommended, right? So if you just don't have the money to hire them, don't go take out a loan to hire the consultant. You know what I mean? Don't put yourself in a bad spot. Go enjoy the property best you can. If you want to do that, save up some money and then do it. Also, if you have just enough money to pay the consultant and not enough money to actually implement the plan, that doesn't do you a lot of good either, because now you've got this plan just sitting there waiting to be done. Well, every year that goes by that you can't implement it, something changes that you might ought to do different, you know, because that habitat, everything, the deer herd is consistently changing. So if you don't start on that and get the ball rolling, then you're already behind and you've just wasted money on that plan that 5 years down the road may or may not still be the best for your property.
Yeah, it'll be close, but things change. Yeah. You know what I mean? So and that's why you don't hire a consultant during the summer. You can't see everything that is going on.
Right.
And if someone's trying to convince you that they can come out in July and August and do a quality consulting plan on your property, I wouldn't hire that person. They're just there to take your money. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Or they're only there for the habitat side of things.
Right.
And then we go back to they're missing the hunting aspect of it.
Yep.
And they both go hand in hand. There's two portions to that puzzle.
Yeah. And do you want to be
that puzzle?
Do you want to be a big buck grower or a big buck killer? You got to be one to be the other, but you can also miss out on the other one if you can just grow them all year long, but if you don't know how to hunt them, you're never going to kill them, you know?
Yeah.
You got to grow them to kill them, but you also want to be able to kill them. So you don't want to miss that part for sure. And then
I was going to say, you can develop the property in a manner that they're there, but if you don't have the plan in place to actually take advantage of that, then, you know,
you're never going to put them in the back of the truck. Mm-hmm. The last one I got, and it kind of goes a little bit with that other one, is if they're going to charge you $10,000 to come in and do a consultation, I'm telling you right now, there's nobody out there whose one day on your property is worth 10 grand. If you've got the money to afford that, you are smart enough to know that it is not worth that. people have money because they're smart with their money, right? So I understand that some people charge that and they get it and some people pay it. I don't really understand why, because there are so many people out there that are qualified, maybe more qualified than those people, more willing to help, more willing to learn your property, because they don't see someone that thinks their time is worth that much money. How much extra time do you think they're putting into your property? Like me or you, we get a consult. We're thinking about that thing all the time. Doesn't matter how much food we got on our plate, how many other clients we got. We're thinking about each of their properties. Anytime we get a spare minute, it's like, man, I told him to do this. I wonder if he's got that done. I wonder if maybe we should change something. I wonder if this is maybe a little bit better. Or I wonder how that changed things and maybe what he's seeing, what we could do different. Now, like, just constantly. Someone who's charging ungodly amounts of money for one day is not doing that for you. They think their time is worth way too much money.
Yeah, and you might be running into the issue of getting a cookie cutter plan. You know what I mean? You might be running into the issue of getting something that is a generalized blueprint that, yes, works, but might not actually be what you want for your property.
Right.
You know, and also something, be careful about jumping on a bandwagon and be careful about size of following when it comes to social media and really nice, pretty videos. Mm-hmm. You know, I've actually gained a lot of clients that have had bad, what happened is they chose this other consultant over me because of their
marketing.
Social marketing, right? Then, and when the visit came, they got a cookie cutter plan. The consultant wasn't there more than a couple hours. Nothing really was tailored to them, and they were extremely unhappy with the product, and in turn hired me. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you could have used what you spent on that one person on implementation alone, you know? Yep. So it's just, yeah, be really careful and do your research and just make sure you're not getting caught up in the social media aspect. That's important because obviously that's proof, right? That there's proof in the pudding to having a solid following and good marketing practices. That's important.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to actually get a quality product. Make sure you're asking for an example of some kind for that product that you're going to be receiving.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And I'll go back a little bit, and even on that one, if you don't have the money and you're looking to get started, what I would do is whatever money you had, like let's say it's that last guy we talked about. He's got the money for a consultant, but he doesn't have the money to implement it. I would use that money for implementation, but what I would first do is go to someone's channel like yours or like ours at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. The YouTube channels, the forums online, research, research, research. And don't just go to one person. Go to this one guy and then go to another guy who's telling you something totally opposite. Find the things that they have in common. Find the things that you like, that think you make sense to you. Find the things that they differ on. And then go to somebody else. You know, don't just follow one person like he is the way, the truth, and the light when it comes to consulting, right? Go to all these different pages, all these different forums, and when you find something, research that, right? And then you can build a pretty good base of knowledge by doing a lot of resource on a lot of research in a lot of different places. There's so many resources out there for you. And again, I'd point you to Tactical Approach Outdoors. I'd point you to our channel, but there's a lot of others too. And don't just use ours. Go find somebody else too that's telling you maybe something a little bit different than we are. And find out what works for you, what you think's a good idea, and then use that money to implement those strategies. And then you'll see, like, hey, did I do this right? Did I do this not? But if you don't have the money to afford it, there are still ways that you can go about getting that information. While it may not be as good, or that continued resource, which like you said, is maybe the biggest thing of hiring somebody, is being able to go back to them. You can still get a pretty good baseline of knowledge and do some things to improve your situation just if you do enough research. So I think that's where we'll leave it for tonight. We're running about 35 minutes now, so we've gone over what we were going to shoot for, but that's pretty normal for us. So
normal.
If you guys are interested in hiring one of us to come out, tacticalapproachoutdoors.com is where you can get all that info on Austin stuff. Ridgehunteroutdoors.com, you can find the info on our stuff. Like I said, we might just be a resource for you guys to find somebody else too. If it's something that we can't help you with for whatever reason, we might point you to one of us or the other of us or somebody else that we know in whatever area you're in. I know I've got a Rolodex of guys that are consultants that I would actually go to myself if I wasn't in the game. So, I mean, we can at least be a resource for you for that. But that's Tactical Approach Outdoors and Ridge Hunter Outdoors. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll try to get back rolling with these every week. If not, at least every other week. And I know when we get to season, like mid-September, we're going to start hitting on these as much as we can. Around hunting, of course. We might have to do some late night recording. But we'll get them out there to you guys. We'll start talking definitely hunting strategies, tactics, stuff like that as we get closer to it. I think we're going to do one on the top five mistakes that private land guys make since we did the public one. And then we're going to be right down to it on seasons opening it up. Kentucky opens up here in just a few weeks. Kansas, yeah. Missouri, a lot of other states open in a couple weeks after that. So getting down to it, looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. For Austin, I'm Canyon. We'll see you on the next one.